Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I already know that this segment is going to be controversial. I know how you guys get sometimes about Travis Kelce. You're a little overprotective at times, and I understand it. Travis Kelce is more than likely on the Mount Rushmore of Kansas City Chiefs players. He is arguably the greatest player ever at his position. There have been fewer athletes that have done more, I would say, for the national appeal of Kansas City. Got all the respect in the world for Travis Kelce, but I think this is a message that either he needs to hear or you guys need to hear about how he has conducted himself through the first 3 weeks of the season. There is not another player in the league right now that is acting this way. We have seen him have an emotional outburst in three consecutive games after giving what appeared to be minimal effort at times in the Super Bowl. He is the same person that spent this offseason telling us how he was in the best shape of his life and all of these things. And that might very well be the case. In week one, he went up to a fellow teammate, yelled at him, and headbutted him. All right, you're telling me Juwan Taylor deserves it. He's not playing well enough. Somebody's got to hold him accountable. All right, sure. In week two, he had a temper tantrum on the sideline. He grabs his helmet. He throws his helmet. He's clearly cursing, mad about something. Now, I guess why I feel this way and why I just don't like these actions from Travis Kelce. When we see this stuff happening on the sideline, does it appear to you that it's motivating his teammates? Sometimes we see guys get other guys fired up and they challenge them. And you get a sense from the rest of the team that I am taking your message, I hear your message, and I am responding to what you just did. We're watching these games. We're seeing them on the sideline. Does it feel like these outbursts galvanize the team? Or does it kind of seem like people are just on the sideline being, there goes Travis again? So in game two of one score, tightly, closely competitive game against the best team in the National Football League. He has a temper tantrum on the sideline and is throwing stuff. He then makes the biggest mistake of the game. All right, got to do better. Goes on the podcast. I get it. All right. Okay. All right. Fine. Hey, everybody's allowed a bad day. I've had bad days. You've had bad days. I'm not mad at him for that. Week three, same story on the sideline. Hey, we're trying to win a football game here. Again, Travis Kelce, he's yelling, he's screaming, he goes up to the coach, and at least this is my interpretation. You're allowed to have your own interpretation. To me, this was the first time in which Andy kind of had the energy of, we've had these conversations privately, and you continue to do this. Now, I'm mad. I mean, this is the same thing that Travis did in the Super Bowl a couple years ago, and Andy just kind of stood there. I thought the team did a good job of kind of calming them down. Hey, we need you. It's a high stressful situation. I get it. Man, this was the first time that Andy was kind of yelling back and Andy initiated the contact between both of them. Travis is coming off the field. He's mad about whatever he's mad about. Andy kind of goes up to him and like, yo, get your head in the game. This just isn't helping. This is not what being a leader is. He's far too important to continue to have these temper tantrums on the sideline every single week, that it's something you got to deal with. He is contributing to the issue. That's part of the issue. The Chiefs right now just don't feel like a team that is together. And for a team in which continuity we know exists, we just watched a 6-hour documentary of, and you could get a sense of how close these guys feel, and we're spending Thanksgiving with each other, and I'm here for your kids, and I'm here for your family. Like, they give off a, hey, we love each other. We care about each other. This energy, this attitude, it just doesn't promote it. And again, I'll ask you guys the question, when you see this happening, do you feel like the rest of the team is motivated by this, or have they just grown accustomed to it and are slightly annoyed by it? This, to me, appears to be the issue. Travis comes off to me as a player who can't do the same things that he could when he was younger, and now he's just frustrated that you're used to being able to do certain things or get away with certain things, or you could just physically overcome these things. He just strikes me as somebody that realizes that I can't do that anymore and is struggling to adjust and deal with that screenplay that we run. I used to be able to turn this into a 13-yard gain. I would get up, pump my chest, first down, and get going. That's now a 2-yard loss for the team. And trying to figure out how to maneuver in that space, how you can be the best version of yourself, even though you're not the same physical player, and help your team. Maybe you disagree with my take, and that's perfectly fine. But in the end, I think we all want the same thing. I want to see the Chiefs offense get back on track. I want to see Travis Kelce have a good potential final season in the league. I want the Chiefs offense to play with rhythm and harmony. I just don't think that these actions by Travis helps it. Yesterday was the first time that I thought that Travis is just starting to get annoying with all of this. I think it's starting to get annoying. A, you're not a good enough player to do this, and why does it happen so frequently with you? He's the only player on the team that's doing this. I'm guessing they're all frustrated. You got to be frustrated. This is an offense right now that stalls way too often. And again, you should know what championship football feels like. Kelce's played in it. Mahomes has played in it. That offensive line, guys know what it should look like, what it should feel like, and it's not that right now. But we all got to be pushing in the same direction. We got to be all on the same page. We got to be working together to try to find solutions to these things. And these repeated Kelce blowups on the sideline and the repeated frustration, it's just not helping you push in the same direction as a team.
I feel like, and we feel very similar here, I feel like Travis Kelce's outbursts, we'll call them that, on the sideline are a symptom of the disease. And the disease is, I think everyone in and around the Chiefs is frustrated by the offense. Patrick Mahomes after the game talked about not playing to their standards the first few weeks. We saw it in the Kingdom. He said something very similar after the Panthers game last year. I think Andy Reid is frustrated. I think Matt Nagy is frustrated. Fans are frustrated. I think there is a level of frustration across Chiefs Kingdom with what the offense has been the first couple weeks, because it's been sluggish. And you know what? It's been more than a couple weeks. It dated back to last season, the offense has been sluggish. I think Travis Kelce is experiencing that frustration at a higher level than anyone else. But you know what? Little temper tantrums on the sidelines and tirades are not fixing the problem. It's clear now. Maybe you thought it would work. Hey, I'm going to fire up Juwan Taylor in week one. It didn't fix any problems. Maybe you thought in week two, you know, a little screaming, a little shouting, a little rah-rah on the sideline would fix the problems. It didn't. We're now in the third week of this season, and that same energy, let's go, you know, screaming, yelling, we're going to fix this. That is, it's not fixing the problem. So I Travis Kelce for being frustrated. I watch the Chiefs. I'm frustrated by their offense. I can't imagine being in it. That must be infuriating to be a part of. But if his solution and his plan to motivate the team to break out of this lull is to scream and shout in the sidelines, we've had 3-4 weeks in a row now. We know that system is not fixing any of the problems.
Yeah, and that's why, at least on the text line, just where I disagree with certain people, like if your argument is, well, Juwan Taylor made a mistake, so he deserves it, So we now want a situation in which when Travis Kelce messes up, then other players on the team can go over him and get in his face and yell and scream. That just doesn't seem like the best teammate that you can possibly be. I also just don't like this context. Text line 913-586-7965. C-Dot, you don't know what you're talking about. He's just out there showing emotion. We watch the NFL every week. Is it commonplace for your best players to go up and get into a shouting match with their head coach? I'm imagining that they all feel a level of emotion about the game, right? We're out here playing a very dangerous, violent, emotional game. Give me the other players that multiple times you see them going up and got chest bumped by their head coach yesterday. Tell me who that is. So I understand that Travis is emotional. I like that he's emotional. I want him to be fiery. My issue is we got to find a way to channel this into a more productive way for the team. That's it. We got to find a way to do this more for the team. Because when Travis Kelce does that, he makes it about him. He makes that about his frustration, his being upset, and not about how we can fix this together as a team. Because then he'll go on the podcast and tell you that he was wrong. And then he'll do the exact same thing. We've had this same repeat process now for three consecutive games. You know exactly what he's going to say on Wednesday when they drop the podcast. Man, you know, I got to be better. Okay, all right. Well, then how do we get you to that place? How do we get you to a place where during the game you can be better? Because that's what we want. You guys tell me if I'm wrong. We can take phone calls on this. 913-586-7965. Do you feel like this is helping? Because I'm watching the games, and his outburst, it ain't really fixed nothing. If you think that him yelling at Juwan Taylor has solved the problem, he's still committing the same penalties. Is it helping their offensive play calling? I asked the question last week, who holds him accountable then? If now we have deemed that Travis is the emotional leader to keep everybody fired up and accountability, who's the person that goes and yells at him when he messes up, when he makes mistakes? I don't see Pat acting like this. I don't see other players that, I don't see anybody else on the team acting like this. I don't see anybody else in the league carrying on like this. It's just him. It's just him doing this right now. I just don't like it. We can take phone calls on this. 913-586-7965. Like, part of being a leader is challenging other guys to be better. And Travis can be better than this. We know he can be better than this. He just comes off to me as somebody who he's frustrated that he can't contribute in the ways that he used to. And I think he just gets all worked up and emotional over the game. You got to find a way to channel that a lot better than how I think he's done it so far through the first 3 weeks of the season. It is adding to the problem. It is not helping solve the problems that this offense has right now. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Watch the show on YouTube by subscribing to the 965 YouTube channel. The Drive brought to you by DM Entry Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Entry Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 965, The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I do want to take your phone calls. I got one more text I want to respond to, and then we'll move on. I really hate this, I guess, take related to it, because to me it doesn't make sense. So I'm frustrated by the Travis Kelce temper tantrums on the sideline. I just don't think that's leadership, and I just don't think it's helping in any way. And I think he right now is the only player in the league that is operating this way. I don't like this. Well, it happens all the time, and we just don't see it. Wait, hold on. You're telling me in 2025, with all the technology, with all the cameras, with all the access that we have to the National Football League, we just think that star players are just throwing their helmet on the sideline and getting in the faces of head coaches, and we don't get access to that? With the 24/7 nature of sports and the content wagon that we're in, we think tonight that Amon-Ra St. Brown would just throw his helmet on the sideline in frustration, get up in Dan Campbell's face and yell at him, and just we wouldn't see the video of it? What are we talking about? Stop it. This is not a normal thing that happens all the time in the national. Maybe it happens in the locker room in private. Yeah, sure. That's not what we're talking about, though. In three consecutive weeks, we have had Travis is mad again. Three consecutive weeks we've had it. I'm not saying we need to cut. I'm not saying any of those things. I don't think it's Taylor Swift related. I don't think it's any of that. I think Travis is mad that he can't help the team in the ways that he used to. There was a very telling sequence to me in the game that I think kind of highlights some of the frustration about the offense, period. I can't remember when it was, first or second quarter. You guys know the one that I'm talking about. The Chiefs are actually putting a good drive together. Travis Kelce is wide open in the middle of the field. I mean, wide open. And Pat misses him. You cannot miss that pass. I thought it stalled the drive. The very next play, they ran like a little wheel route for Travis Kelce down the left side of the sideline. And I'm telling you, the corner was with him stride for stride. Stride for stride. And I'm seeing on social media, oh, well, you got to try to get a pass interference there. So flop. No, that's good defense. I just don't think that Travis is physically able to do those things anymore. And I think that's the core of where the frustration is. He's used to being an impact, game-changing playmaker. That's what he was for a decade. A decade. He was maybe the best pass catcher in the league. He has now just become another guy on the field. That's what he is. He's another guy on the field. He can't beat you, but he can still be dangerous and make plays. He can still find the hole in a zone defense. He can still be a contributing player. But when you're used to being able to do this and now you can't do it anymore, I understand why that can be a little bit frustrating. And I like the fire. I like the emotion. I do think you should be able to challenge guys. I understand that football is an emotional game, and everybody, I get it. Tell me who else in the league is doing this. Please tell me, show me. There's cameras everywhere. There's 80,000 people in attendance. Everybody's got cameras on their. We don't have a bunch of instances in which star players and head coaches are having chest bumps in the middle of the field or in the middle of a very important game. Your tight end goes up to the head coach, is screaming in his ear and chest bumping him, almost knocking him down. This is not a common occurrence that happens all the time in the NFL. We at least got to be honest and true about what we're seeing on the sideline with the Chiefs. How often do we see that with Bill Belichick? They had some personalities. We got a lot of instances of where Gronk and Bill are just yelling at each other. Come on now. Let's go to the phone lines. 913-586-7965. Here is Melvin calling into the show. Melvin, how you doing, my man?
Hey, C-Dot. How's it going?
Doing good, man.
Look, I got a couple points to differ with you on. One, the left tackle for the Giants just last week had a little tantrum, and that's why he wasn't starting this week. They put in the backup. And then I think it was the Titans where the coach made the sign, like, hit him in the chest, and the quarterback just basically waved his hand like, shut the F up. I mean, so there's two examples right there where players have kind of went off on their coaches. But my main point is Travis, if I remember correctly, has the most seniority of everybody that's on the team right now. And remember, when Travis first came into the league, he was a high head, was getting a lot of 15-yard penalties and things like that. And if Travis is supposed to be one of the main leaders on the team, it's just like Brady. We saw Brady yelling at his teammates all the time. Now, Belichick and Brady, we turned out that they didn't get along as we thought. So we don't really know what happened on the sideline. But we seen Brady smash his iPad or whatever book he has on the sideline. And they give him that leadership qualities. Now, Travis has had a few incidents. And another thing, when you said the cornerback was step for step, Travis hasn't really never really outran the cornerbacks. Linebackers, yes. Cornerbacks, no. A few safeties. But, yeah, Travis is frustrated, but this is my last point. The Chiefs are no longer the 2018 offense with 50 and 5,000. They even said in that documentary, are you ready to turn from an offensive team to a defensive team? And we're a defensive team right now, and since Travis plays offense, he is probably frustrated. But they're still winning. Not this year, but they're still willing. And I'm like the other caller or text said earlier. You said you just wanted to win, and no matter what, you wasn't going to complain. Thanks, C-Dot.
I appreciate it, Melvin. Well, I mean, I didn't know that their Hall of Fame coach was going to chest bump their Hall of Fame tight end again. I didn't know that was going to happen. I didn't know every week we just had to pencil that in. Like, I didn't know every week in Chiefs bingo we had to pencil in a argument between Travis Kelce and Andy Reid. I didn't know we had to do that. Let's go back to the phone lines. Jesse, you called into the show. Hey, Jesse, how you doing, man?
Good.
Go ahead.
So, I coach high school sports, and, like, I see with senior athletes all the time. It's their last year, that light's at the end of the tunnel. You want it to be your best year. You're relying on teammates for it. And when it's not, and it's starting to slip through the fingers a little bit, frustration. And then you're trying to argue, you're pressing, you're playing the blame game, and some self-accountability, maybe lacking self-accountability. You see all of that. And, like, let's be honest, this might and probably is it for Kelce. And so now that they're, you know, 1-2 and not too off to a great start, are we kind of having that, like, oh, crap moment of what's happening? And like you said, the physical abilities aren't there anymore. He's probably getting blamed and putting self-blame on for the Worthy injury. Like, all that's starting to add up. But at the end of the day, you just don't do that on the sideline. You just don't. And, like, yes, each coach and player has a rapport. You know how you can coach every player on your team. Some are like, you get on them, light a fire. Some are like, just teaching points. Some are let them do their own thing. But, like, it's over and over and over again. So, yeah, the Giants guy can do this and whatever. But, like, when Kelce does it again and again and again, you're right. Like, Andy Reid just looks tired of it. In his post game, he's like, oh, that's just Travis and we're emotional. I like it. But does he? Like, it is. It's just kind of getting old. And on top of that, Noah Gray's been praying pretty well, too. So is that in the back of his head? Like, is it time that we start maybe evening out or kind of getting Gray in there? Like, I mean, I don't have an answer, obviously, but it is. Like, overall, it is a bad look, whether you're Travis Kelce, Tom Brady or not. It is a bad look because it's repetitive.
Absolutely, Jesse, and I appreciate the phone call. Really good stuff. The thing that just stands out to me is it just – whatever he would deem to be the intended purpose of it, I just don't think that's what's actually happening. Like, if your belief in this is, hey, he's challenging guys to be more accountable, like, is that the tone that you get? Like, if we're saying, hey, when Brady would get mad, Brady would slam the iPad. Like, you're right. Like, we've seen players get mad, but it's usually a, hey, I'm frustrated with how things are going. I'm going over here. I'm challenging you guys directly. You guys need to play better. I'm going to go out here and I'm going to lead us. That's just not the energy that I'm picking up. Take one more phone call on this. 913-586-7965. We got Mitch Holtz is coming up in about 30 minutes. Michael in Chicago. Hey, Michael, how you doing, man?
Hey, C-Dot. I'm going to try to hit two targets with one arrow here. I don't think it's a good look, but I would be a lot more worried if this was happening with Pat Mahomes or Chris Jones. I think there's three leaders on the team. I think Travis has always been a little bit more of the wild card. On this front, he's maybe the bad cop to the other guys, his good cop. And so I'm not really troubled by it. I like the fact that Andy gave him the chest bump this time. Like, hey, buddy, back down. I'm the guy in charge. But I think his eruptions are the canary in the coal mine on what we have been talking about. You have been talking about, and we have been talking about for a year and a half. And that is, as why does this offense not do what it did in the year they won against Philly when they didn't have Tyreek and they still had a good offense? And it comes down to, I think, one thing. It comes down to their tackles not being good and pass protection for pass plays in the intermediate zone. We're okay in the short. We are okay apparently throwing it long a little bit. But this team cannot defend the pass or hasn't been able to defend the pass block, to, long enough to get consistent completions in the 10 to 20-yard range, which is what sets the offense apart. When the Chiefs were good, when we were really good, we would carve teams up. Four passes, 20 yards, touchdown. Four, five passes, 18 yards, touchdown. It wasn't that we were hitting bombs so much. It was that we were carving them up in the middle. But you need your tackles to hold it. And Jawan Taylor can't do it. He can't do it. Are you guys still there?
No, I'm listening to you. Go ahead, man.
Okay. He can't do it. And he doesn't just take yards off the field. He takes points off the field. They were driving for points, and then his holding call took points off. He's letting through a pass rusher at the wrong time. Affecting a third down play. He is taking points off the field consistently, has been doing it for 2 years. We would do better with Andrew Wiley back at right tackle. We won a Super Bowl with Andrew Wiley, and we paid him a fraction of the money. Like, so that, I think Travis is the canary in the coal mine. His last year, like your last caller just pointed out, this is his last chance. He came back this one time. He could be off hanging out with Taylor Swift. Instead, he's back in training camp for one run. And this Yahoo at right tackle getting paid $20 million a year can't freaking do his job. I think he's reaching a boiling point, and he's the canary in the coal mine, I think, for the rest of the team. I mean, you look at Pat. Pat has a look on his face coming off sometimes like, holy crap. Like, he's pissed. He's pissed. And 2 years ago, was it? Pat got Kadarius Toney benched. I mean, you watch. You watch. If anything starts coming out of Pat, there will be a change.
I'm with you, Michael, and I appreciate the phone call. Let's talk, I guess, let me follow up with one point, and then we'll move on to talk about Jawan Taylor. I don't know if talking about Jawan Taylor is complaining or not, but we got to talk about it. I don't think anybody's expectation is for the Chiefs to be the offense that they were in 2018. They were in a completely different place. They had their quarterback on a rookie contract. They had prime Tyreek Hill, prime Travis Kelce. I mean, their third option was Sammy Watkins. Like, they just had a much better infrastructure, which makes sense because they didn't have this one big contract to build around. So I mean, that's not my expectations with the Chiefs offense, not at all. I don't want anyone to think that's my expectations. They had the best offense in the league in 2022. In 2022, the year that they won the Super Bowl against Philadelphia, they scored the most points in the National Football League. The most points. Now, fast forward since then, in 2023, they were 15th in offense. In 2024, they were 15th in offense. So far this season, they are 21st offensively. That's why I asked the question from the very beginning. Do we think that Xavier Worthy and Rashee Rice fix all of this? Do we think that right now their offense is ranked 21st? Getting them back gets them to third or fourth? Like, maybe that's the hope. Maybe that's the belief around the city. I'm just simply asking the question because I think they have more problems than that. Now, again, I don't know if this is complaining or not. It's just simply an observation from the game. Just last week, I didn't have to go too far back. Actually, no, it's not last week. It's 2 weeks ago. This is from September 11th. Matt Nagy spoke to the media. This is what he had to say about Jawan Taylor and the penalties. These are not my words. This is the offensive coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Speaking to the obvious, the penalties, that can't happen. And so that's where we're at. We've made it loud and clear. Jawan knows that. He understands it. It's something that, especially in a moment like that in that game, when things are a little bit off kilter now with the personnel, and you start to move the ball, you have a couple positive plays, and then boom, a penalty or a second. You know, so three penalties and a hold, not good enough. He knows that. When there's no one hiding from it, he's not hiding from it. He understands what's expected, and I think he's ready for that challenge here as we go.
All right. Accountability is something that sounds really good. It really does. It sounds good. There's certain, like, buzzwords that, man, fans love to hear. And accountability is one of those words that as fans, we love to hear. We realize that we can't do anything, so they got to do something. Hey, this guy isn't playing well. You know what the accountability is? Yell at him. Scream at him. Go make him run suicides. Go make him run stairs. That's what my coach used to make me do. accountability is sitting a guy on the bench. It all sounds good until you have to do it. They told me, I didn't come up with this. They told me that enough was enough with the penalties from Juwan Taylor and was that something had to be done and it had to stop. That's what they told me. And it sounds good. We all were applauding him. Yeah, I want to see it. Yeah, I want to see it. Okay, I want to see it too. Fast forward to the game. They had another drive that was stalled because of a penalty from Juwan Taylor. That has happened a lot since he has taken over. We know it's happened a lot. Mahomes runs for 17 yards and converts a first down, and you got the same tone and energy from everybody. We all knew when we saw the flag and where the flag was thrown. Oh, it's on that guy again, isn't it? They come out holding number 74. It's gotten so bad, people. You saw this yesterday. I'm not making this up. They had a graphic ready on Sunday Night Football for how he's lined up incorrectly. They don't just randomly come up with that. That is something that they have been putting together Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, that they are figuring out all the things that they think they need for the broadcast. They're not just coming up with them on the fly. They knew this was going to be something that they were going to use. There is nothing more telling than that to me. Rob, am I joking? They had an illegal formation graphic ready. They don't have that ready for any other team in the league. I'm serious. They don't have that ready for any other team except the Chiefs, because they know who's going to commit the penalty. If they want me to believe accountability, what does that look like for Juwan Taylor? That's an honest question. Hey, Matt, you said that the penalties have got to stop. Another penalty that stalled a drive from your right tackle happened. You have an alternative option if you want to go to it. You got a guy right there in Jalen Moore that you guys spent a lot of money on that obviously you liked, that is standing over there right next to you, ready to get into the game. What does accountability look like? Are you guys preparing to make a change? What if a penalty happens? You can get away with that stuff against the Giants. You can. They're not a good enough team. You cannot turn a first down against the Ravens on Sunday into a third and long because, again, of a penalty from Juwan Taylor. You cannot do that. I'm serious. I'm sorry. You cannot do that. Someone on the text line says, Carrington, you're assuming. I'm not assuming when it comes to the graphic. I promise you. Trust me. You are not on the fly having a graphic ready for a legal procedure unless you as a production staff for NBC Sunday Night Football have talked about it. You've talked about it. You knew. Hey, when this happens, you guys need to be ready to go for it. All right, got it. Cool. We ready. Because you know it's going to happen at some point. Hey, guys, what are we doing here? That's bad. We can't keep doing this. We cannot keep doing this with Juwan Taylor. But they probably will. I mean, it'll happen again, and they'll get better, and we'll work on it, and, all of that stuff. I mean, we've all been here before when it comes to those penalties. We've all been here before.
Do we think, and I am asking this to the text line, I'll attempt to answer the question. Do we think we see Jalen Moore right tackle this year? Like, you played the audio. September 11th, Matt Nagy met with the media following, I believe that was the Chargers game. I might have my weeks messed up. But he was talking to the media saying it's unacceptable. Juwan knows it. We know it. We're going to get better. It wasn't like Juwan Taylor was penalty-free against the Eagles. Like, it wasn't just rainbows and unicorns. And then last night, like you said, the graphic was ready to go. I think on the play after the graphic, he also committed a penalty. He just didn't get called. I feel like two or three times in the game, Juwan Taylor was begging to get called for a penalty, but didn't get called. So it could have been worse than it was. If we're 11 days removed from, hey, he knows we got to get cleaned up, and it's something he knows, we know, everyone knows it. It hasn't been cleaned up. Are they going to go to Jalen Moore this year? Because clearly whatever they're saying in meetings and talking about in the practice field isn't hitting home, because
Jawan Taylor is still starting. So is Jalen Moore a starter at this point, or is he the most expensive cheerleader in Arrowhead Stadium every week?
I don't know. I mean, I wish I had a better answer for what you're asking. But at this point, they have just signed up for the penalties with Jawan Taylor. Like, I don't know how you can read into it anymore. This is part of what you get, right? This is part of what you get. It's part of it, right? Like, it comes with watching Chiefs games. I was joking about this, but like, if right for next Sunday's game against the Ravens, if you want to make a Chiefs bingo board, assuming at some point that Jawan Taylor will get a penalty is a safe bet. Every week. And they always just happen at the worst times. Always. They just find you when you need them. It's just so, no, I don't believe them anymore when they talk about accountability to him. I'm sure there's other things that they hold guys accountable for. They have accepted that Jawan Taylor penalties are a part of their offense. And in the meantime, when you don't really have the infrastructure to kind of build over it, it's tough. One of the problems for the Chiefs right now is it's just a lot of things to overcome. Your kicker isn't the same that he was 8 months ago. Your right tackle commits penalties that takes first downs off the board. Like, you're already fighting an uphill battle because of the injuries. You make it even more difficult when you have the self-inflicted penalties that the Chiefs have had on offense. And that's one of the problems why they struggled so far when it comes to their ability to score. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll be joined by Mitch Holtz, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
This is Wyatt Thompson from K-State, and you're listening to The Drive with CDOT right here on 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
They played this song yesterday because it was actually the 21st night of September. It's like, oh, yeah. And it just hit me, Rob. This is a song that has a 100% approval rating. I mean this, and this is the most heartfelt take I've ever had in my entire life, my entire career. I mean this to the depths of my soul. This is not a bit. If you don't like this song, I don't know if you're somebody that I would get along with. This can play at anything. Birthday party, retirement party, graduation, wedding, black, white, religious, non-religious, non-denominational. Don't matter. Who doesn't like this song? When you hear this song at the function, you don't get up and start giving you a little bop, little groove to it. What an incredible song. Truly a timeless song. Rob, did y'all play this at y'all wedding?
This was the first song played at the wedding after like all the first dance and stuff. This was to get the people on the dance floor. This was the first
song.
That's
what I'm saying. I couldn't remember.
100% played.
What a song. You guys think I'm joking. There's a lot of things we joke about. Like, I don't like baked beans, but if you like baked beans, I mean, all right, it's fine, whatever. I mean, it's not on my plate. I don't care that much. If you don't like September by Earth, Wind, and Fire, something's wrong with you. Like, something's wrong with you. Like, I don't get it. I really don't understand. What an incredible song. I can't wait till next week when we play the Taylor Swift version of it, where she says the 28th night of September.
That's what she says?
Yeah.
Do we have to put that version?
You want to play it? Well, you can play it right now if you want
to. No, I'm good. Nope.
You sure?
It's not the 28th.
Did we save it? Is it in the system somewhere?
I think it is. I don't like this.
You got it?
I can probably find it.
Yeah, go ahead and find it.
I'm going to be upset.
For those of you that haven't heard the Taylor Swift version.
I don't know what we saved it as.
Yeah, that's a time. Oh, that's a time. I'm telling you. That's a time.
We have a surprise amount of Taylor Swift cuts in the system. So I can't
no,
find
I'm
it.
Not surprised by that at all.
It's a lot.
I'm not surprised by that in the least. In the least bit. Not surprised. You know what? I'll give you some time to find it. I'll just play Russell Wilson until you find it.
Well, I think, first of all, I think that, you know, for me, I've always been about, you know, the extra work. You know, if somebody says, you know, you got to do, you know, X amount, I triple it. You know, that's just how I've always been, you know.
I don't really get jet lagged too often. You know, I don't really, you know, I've traveled enough to get, you know, kind of get my system down. But yeah, for me, I was on the plane the first 2 hours. I was, first 2 hours, probably eight hours flight here. That's the first 2 hours I was watching the film, watching all the cut-ups and everything else. And then for the next 4 hours, I was doing treatment on the plane. I was walking up and down the aisles. Everybody was knocked out. I was doing high knees and working on my legs and everything else, you know, make sure I'm ready to rock. So that was good. And then the last 2 hours of the last hour of that, I fell asleep for 1 hour, and then I watched the film the rest. So
I don't know if yesterday's going to be the end of his career. I really don't. I don't know. But I'm telling you that, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, that stretch near the goal line, I don't know if you can get worse quarterback play than that. I'm serious. I don't know if it's possible for you to get worse quarterback play than the Giants did there at the goal line. We're down two scores. You got to give somebody a chance. On fourth down, he threw it into the concourse. Like, throwing an interception there, it's not the worst possible thing that could happen. Russell, what's going wrong? Then they had there were a lot of weird play calls in yesterday's game. Rob, you remember whenever they ran an RPO and Russell decided to keep it, it's third and goal? Like, wait, what? Why is Russell Wilson running RPOs in the red zone? Like, that time in his career, that was over a long time ago. That time has been passed. In fact, that was three time zones ago that he should be able to run that play. Russell Wilson should not be running RPOs near the goal line. That is not, especially not when Cam Scadaboo was eating the way that he was. Not when we got Malik Nabers. Not when we got Wandell Robinson. We shouldn't be running QB keepers to our 36-year-old quarterback.
If Patrick Mahomes is September by Earth, Wind, and Fire, Russell Wilson was this. This is really bad.
There's somebody that likes this version more than the other version. This is the kind of music I imagine they play at Cracker Barrel. Like right when you walk in. Listen to how she hits the chorus here. Listen to this. Okay, I'm done. Please, stop. Stop. That's the most popular musician in the world? That one right there? The one we just played?
That's the most famous person in the world.
I'm just asking. That's the person? That's the one people go crazy for to hear her singing? Okay. All right. No, I get it. Makes sense to me.
That woman sold out multiple shows in every continent
on Earth. I was wondering.
Probably not from that song.
I was asking a question. I just wanted to know.
If you're a Swiftie and you're listening, you're like, that's my favorite song, stop listening.
I don't think that's anybody's favorite song. I'm just saying, is there somebody that likes that version more than the original version?
unless you're like,
and I'm telling you, that person should be on a list.
Unless you're like 11 and you just don't know better.
That person should be on a registry. Bad parents in that world. That person is an offender. That's what I think. Hey, salute to her. Salute to everybody. I love this. I love everybody. That's really the message that I want out here. Everybody. Rob, what's your everybody loves this song? Like 100% approval rating. There's not a single person that doesn't like this song. Mine is September. What's yours?
That's a really good answer. I don't know. I know the answer for like people in our age demographic, but I don't know it crosses demographics. Like if I were to play Yeah by Usher, no 25 to 45 year old is going to dislike that song.
Yeah, it's a great song.
But like if I was a wedding DJ,
I think the kids also like Yeah Too by Usher. I do think the kids like it.
You know who don't? I don't think the grandparents like Yeah by Usher.
They might though. It's a little catchy. It gets you up, you're dancing, you're moving.
It's got a little something. I think Yeah by Usher is my closest.
I don't know anybody that doesn't like Billie Jean.
Don't Stop Believing?
That's a good one. You wouldn't even think that song is crossed over. That song is not a Two America song. You can play Don't Stop Believing and it works.
Don't Stop Believing is crossed over.
Yeah.
That surprises me.
It's one of those songs. Did you enjoy hearing Mr. Brightside? Is that one of those songs for you?
I left during Mr. Brightside. I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, I didn't know. I was just asking. I wasn't 100% sure. Coming up on the other side, we'll be joined in studio by Mitch Holtz, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs, they have a win. We'll talk to him about it. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.